Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Well, you think you're getting Jack Ebling on the Ebling and You show today on 1320 WILS, but in fact, it's me, Kelly Rossman McKinney. I actually co-host with Jack the first Friday of every month from 5 to 6, and today I get to really kind of sit in his seat. It's a big seat. I'm filling a big seat for Jack Ebling. And we had a chance to talk with Bill Ballinger in the first segment of the show, and you know, Bill's got such a great collective of information about the legislature. He served as a state senator. He was a part of the, I believe, the Milliken cabinet at one point in time. And he was talking, we were talking a little bit about term limits. And one of the things I had wanted to chat with him a little bit about is the fact that although we have 29 freshman senators, only one of them is actually brand new to the legislature. He's a guy by the name of Pat Kolbeck. I don't know a thing about him other than he's a management consultant. He's from Canton, Michigan, so the western Wayne County, and he'll be brand new. Everybody else, every single one of the incoming freshman senators, 28 of 36 senators are coming over from the House or have served in the past, including folks like Rick Jones. He was my state rep, and he'll be my state senator from Eaton County, Delta Township. And actually, his Senate district stretches pretty much from the Lansing Mall all the way to Saugatuck. So he's got quite a stretch. We've got a whole number of other folks who are coming back in who will be serving in the Senate. And then in the House, it is 61 freshmen legislators who are coming in as state reps, 61 out of 110. So we will have, we will have quite a learning curve, perhaps. And do we have Judy yet, Scott?
No, not yet, but I have a question for you.
Oh,
Kelly.
You do?
I know we had you on pretty much every Thursday leading up to the election, because you guys at the Rossman Group, you're doing a lot of polling.
Yeah, we sure did.
What was that like? How important was that, and how were those numbers used?
Well, you know, that's interesting. First of all, let me just be frank, Scott. It was a marketing strategy from our perspective. And you're absolutely right. We teamed up with Team Telcom, and we did a series of robo-polls where you call folks and it's an automated response. They just hit a button. And what we did for, I believe it was 8 weeks leading up to the general election, we asked folks, number one, who were they going to vote for governor? Who were they going to vote for attorney general? And who were they voting for secretary of state? In addition, in several congressional districts, those districts that were squishy, for lack of a better term, they were pretty dynamic races, the Mark Schauer, Tim Walberg seat, Gary Peters, the congressman who was running against a former state rep, Andy Ruskowski. We actually did polling up, I believe, in the UP, which was, I'm blanking on his name, and I can see him, the congressman. Isn't that terrible? Let me just tell you, any one of you who's over 50 can totally relate to the moment I am having, and everyone under 50 is wondering, what's wrong with Grandma on the radio? Bart Stupak. Okay, it was Bart Stupak's seat. And it was won by a guy by the name of Beneshek, actually a physician up in the UP. See, those moments come back, Scott. But here's what we found out. And actually, the most controversial of the findings was the congressional race, the John Dingell congressional race. You know, a longtime incumbent. He's been in office for more than 50 years as a state congressman or a U.S. congressman. And he had a very, very strong challenger and a guy by the name of Steele. He is a cardiologist out of Ann Arbor. And we did a poll back in September that really did not make the Dingell camp very happy, because what it showed is John Dingell was actually quite vulnerable. And we did not anticipate that our findings would gather so much national coverage. They were covered by Time Magazine, by the Huffington Post. I had an awkward moment where I ran into Debbie Dingell shortly after the election. In fact, it was at Bill Ballinger's pundit summit. And she looked at me and said, I am beyond angry with you. And I thought, well, okay, I can understand it. And I love that about her because she was being a wife first and also a longtime campaign person as well. So she's very protective of her husband. I like to think that our numbers were accurate. They did show Steele and Rob Steele and John Dingell in a neck and neck race. And I think what it was a huge wake up call for that congressional campaign. I think that they were taking that seat for granted. And why wouldn't they? The guy's been in office for 50 years. Why wouldn't you take it for granted? Debbie was not happy with me, and I did not argue with her because I love Debbie Dingell, and I love her passion for her husband and for her seat. But I also think our poll was a giant kick in the keister for the campaign. See, sticking with a little alliteration there, a kick in the campaign keister. And actually, the campaign itself elevated the prominence of our poll because they issued a news release before we issued our poll results indicating and calling us a Republican firm. And anybody who covers politics knows we're a nonpartisan or bipartisan firm. So that's the story on polling. And, you know, I'm glad you asked it because, you know, I love politics, but I'm nonpartisan. I'm a true independent. So we're going to have a chance to talk to a couple of people about some really important economic aspects of our community, both in terms of matching folks who don't have jobs and talking about manufacturing. So we'll be back after the half-hour break.